When the young lotus-eyed girls came to the bank of a reservoir of water, they wanted to enjoy by bathing. Thus, they left their clothing on the bank and began sporting, throwing water on one another. While sporting in the water, the girls suddenly saw Lord Shiva passing by, seated on the back of his bull with his wife, Parvati. Ashamed because they were naked, the girls quickly got out of the water and covered themselves with their garments. Sarmishta unknowingly put on Devyani's dress on her own body, thus angering Devyani, who then spoke as follows. Aho narikshatama shyada shakama yasam patam asmadharyam vittavati shaniva hari advare. Oh, just see the activities of this servant maid, Sarmishta. Disregarding all etiquette, she has put on my dress just like a dog snatching clarified butter meant for use in a sacrifice. 12-14. We are among the qualified brahmanas who are accepted as the face of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The brahmanas have created the entire universe by their austerity, and they always keep the absolute truth within the core of their hearts. They have directed the path of good fortune, the path of Vedic civilization, and because they are the only worshipable object within this world, they are offered prayers and worship even by the great demigods, the directors of the various planets, and even by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul, the Supreme Purifier, the husband of the Goddess of Fortune. And we are even more respectable because we are in the dynasty of Bhrigu. Yet, although this woman's father, being among the demons, is our disciple, she has put on my dress exactly like a Shudra taking charge of Vedic knowledge. Wow. So that's good. We can read Srila Bhakti's nonsense now. He took, I think he could probably take care of the arguments. So, this is the appearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. We just heard this song in praise, Daira Sagar. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was the, sometimes said, fourth son. But one boy died. So he moved up to third son, I think. But also he was fourth son in that he had a half-brother. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had the first wife who left her body about 10 months after having his son. So that son is also included. And he was born in 1860, which is like 14 years before Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was born, 1874. So his Bhakti Santa Saraswati's mother, Bhagavati, she gave birth to, it said, 8 sons and 5 daughters. A lot of kids. 13. And then there was the older half-son, so half-brother, which makes a lot of kids. So we all heard the story of Bhakti Santa Saraswati when he was 5 months old and the garland fell on him. There's so many. I wrote some highlights down. I mean, because when you read this, if overall, this is one volume and there's 3. You probably could write, fill up the whole room with books on Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. But fortunately, we have this much. And we should thank Bhakti Vikas Swami for doing a lot of research for, you know, 15, 20 years to get all the stuff that's in these books. So I feel inept at describing Srila Bhakti. And whenever I read this, I could have the realization. First realization is, man, we are totally insignificant, really. Because he was so brilliant. His father had dug a place outside of Calcutta, and they found a Korma deity. And he gave it to Bimala Prasad to worship. He was a small kid, I think 7 or 8, and he was worshiping. He gave him the Shinga mantra, Ugra Biryam Mahabishnu, that mantra, to worship his Korma deity. And at 6, 7, he was already, he knew Bhagavad Gita, but he knew how to explain it according to the Siddhanta, which is, you know, if we don't find too many kids even knowing it, I don't see too many around here anyway. But in India, there's some boys that know it. He could explain it. And so his entire youth, his being a boy, is a completely inexplicable, doesn't really fit within the parameters of the material world. You know, so brilliant. At 15, for instance, he was studying he was translating already. At 13, he already entered the Sanskrit Academy, and he was studying with one big pundit. I scribbled down his name, but I won't read it. But this pundit, he was studying the six Vedangas. This is the aspects of Vedic knowledge. And when he came to Sandhi in Sanskrit, and he did it in 3 days. So his tutor, who was one of the most esteemed pundits in Calcutta, he cautioned Bimla Prasad. He said, well, 3 days, you know, this is kind of stretching it. I studied this for a long time. And in Benares, the pundits studied that through their whole life. They study all these things, Sanskrit grammar. But he just ignored it, you know, and finished it very quickly. So he was translating this Siddhanta Shiromani, Surya Siddhanta. These are very advanced mathematical books, astronomical books, thousands of years old, given by the demigods, untraceable. But they had not been updated in 800 years. They're meant to be updated. They're actually working books. Tomorrow, Nartok is giving class. She could probably explain this way, way better than me. She studied it. But basically speaking, it was the mood, even amongst the most advanced astronomers, that you had to take shelter of Western astronomy. Nobody could understand these books. Or if you did understand them, they had to be in relation to Western astronomy. But he completely disproved it. He showed them they hadn't been updated. That's why no one understood them in 800 years. From the time of, there was Bhaskaracharya, he had compiled these books. Anyway, a phenomenal, as we say today, brainiac, prodigy, polyglot, whatever you want to say. He had his own, by 12, he had his own phonetical alphabet. There was a combination of all the languages of the world. Bikanto had another word also. Krinik, I wrote it down. Anyway, I wanted to read more specifically because, what can I say? The way this book is made, there's a biography in the beginning with a lot of things that we know and things that we don't, haven't heard before. And then there's chapters pertaining to various subjects like the Holy Name, dealings with women, service to Shastra, service to the Dham. It takes a long time to study this. How many people have read this book? Kripa Sindhu. Amazing, right? I mean, you just shake your head, you know, how could anyone be like that? So I really couldn't ever decide what to read, but Prabhupada said, sometimes he would say, when I read a book, he was actually talking about Krishna book at the time. They were reading from it. They asked him, what should we read? He said, you read anywhere. It's just like a bag of sugar. Anywhere you take, it's going to be sweet. So that pertains to many things in Shastra. So this morning they read a quote. And that quote is here also again. Busy within the temporal sphere trying to bring sense gratification. But there's another one that comes before that, three parts of it. So, you don't know where to start. Well, when Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati approached Gorkhasrudas Babaji, we know somewhat, but there's a little more here. He was being rejected. So Babaji Maharaj said to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Bimal Prasad, I once accepted a disciple, but he cheated me and he went away. I will not make any further disciples. But Siddhanta Saraswati was not easily discouraged, and he again begged for mercy. Babaji Maharaj responded, I will ask Mahaprabhu. And then later on he says, well, what was his order? Babaji Maharaj replied, I forgot to ask. Siddhanta Saraswati came for the third time. He was directly refused. I asked, Babaji Maharaj said, but I didn't receive the command of Mahaprabhu. Siddhanta Saraswati was devastated. He stood up and uttered, Karuna nahoyle kandiya kandiya prananaraki boara. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song, part of Karuna nahoyle kandiya, crying. He's always crying in many songs, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This one also we just heard. He's crying, running after Dayatel, and crying, running after his Guru Maharaj. Also, I read here that I hadn't noticed or remembered that Bhaktisandhya Saraswati, he used to go with Bhaktivinoda Thakur to all these gatherings, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur would have Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Pravachan. And Bhaktisandhya would hear that from very small kid, especially 10, 11, and that this was a handwritten copy that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had written. And that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he was doing the Jiva Dharma, actually Prabhupada said that the Chaitanya Shikshamrita and Jiva Dharma are the most important book, which Pradyumna used to carry around the Harinam Chintamani, which of course is a very nectar book, but Prabhupada said, why are you carrying that book? And he kind of admonished him, why you have to carry that, you always carry that book. He said, well, whenever there's a, Pradyumna said that whenever there's a initiation, then I refer to this book because it's all about the Harinam and initiation, the offenses. And Prabhupada said, you do not know that yet? Because Pradyumna was pretty smart. But he said, anyway, he said, the most important books, he told him, are those two books, Shikshamrita, Jiva Dharma. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of course, wrote so many other books. But Jiva Dharma is a classical, huge book. And the Shikshamrita. So when he was taking dictation, what to speak of knowing, and he didn't forget any of it. Bhaktisandhya Saraswati was writing it down as Bhaktivinoda Thakur would dictate it. So we can well imagine. Even when he was young, he used to keep very advanced books, Siddhanta Saraswati, apparently, like Govinda Lila Mita, the books like that, and Krishna Karnamrita. He liked to read them, and he knew that no one's advanced enough to read these books. His father had already told him, although he wanted to print them. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, you can print one copy for yourself. But so he would read them and just have the Sanskrit without any Bengali translation or anything and just keep it there. He figured no one could read this anyway. It's pure Sanskrit, very advanced poetics. And so he was very advanced in these things, although he used to caution that people should be very wary of reading and exposing themselves very gradually to these books. Anyway, onward to this little pastime. He's saying, Karunana, if I don't get your mercy, then I can't maintain my life. Prana na rakiboa. Prana is my life. Rakibo means to protect, keep it. I cannot keep your mercy without this mercy. He resolved that however many times he might be refused, this was something Srila Bhakti Sanatana you find, he's so full of heavy, heavy determination. He's the personification of these Vaishnava Rupanuga principles. Vigrahaya Namostate is the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. He can give also our relationship with Krishna. This is what the shlokas tell us. Seeing the young aspirant's genuine desire and commitment, Babaji Maharaj relented. He told Srila Siddhanta Saraswati, bathe in the nearby Saraswati, we know as Jalangi, and return, after which he accepted him as disciple. That was in January 1900. Later, he reflected on this incident. So Bhaktisandhya Saraswati is saying, when out of false ego I was thinking, quote, I am a great scholar of math, mathematics, and philosophy. Let any big pundit come at any time, day or night, I will cut his proposition to pieces, unquote. So, I mean, he's writing this very humbly that he felt puffed up, but we know that actually could cut anybody to pieces, and you read about it in here. It's pretty heavy duty. At that time, I got the darshan of the lotus feet of Sri Gurudev. He ignored everything that was previously appreciated in me. My truthfulness, my moral and pious life, my intellectualism, knowing them to be of little value. When I saw that he ignored whatever was good in me, I realized how good he himself must be, who could neglect so many, quote, good qualities in me. What inconceivable wealth he possessed. explanation. Being neglected by him, I understood there was no one more fallen and contemptible than myself. That was my actual identity. The very things that I had judged, this is completely in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he was speaking with these sannyasis in Benares, and he was saying like this, Guru Mori Murka Dek, Guru Karele Shashan, my guru seeing me called me a fool and chastised me, that you don't study Vedanta, you're not qualified. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vedanta Krit Veda Vid Eva Chaham, he's a compiler of Veda, Vedanta. He's saying that his guru said he shouldn't study Vedanta, that you're not qualified. So, being neglected by him, I understood there was no one more fallen and contemptible than myself. I apprehended that within himself, this noble personality possessed priceless treasure. I then pondered that either he is extremely puffed up or is exceedingly merciful. I then haughtily said to my Gurudev, you are a worshipper of that cheater and debauched Krishna, so why would you be compassionate to someone like me, dedicated to ordinary morality? Humbly and sincerely, I prayed to the Supreme Lord for his mercy. Later, by his grace, I recognized that without receiving the blessings of this peerless saint and without serving him, nothing good could happen to me. When I accepted that and acted accordingly, and then received the causeless, unlimited grace of my Sri Gurudev and refuge at his lotus feet, I deemed my life fulfilled. I had considered my Gurudev to be unequaled in Vairagya, but somewhat short of learning. But he reduced to powder my audacity born of book learning. With the mallet of his mercy, he revealed that whatever I had adjudged to be the highest idea was in fact most low and despicable. When by his grace that instruction first entered my ears, my diminutive brain lacked the capacity to accommodate such transcendental knowledge. But to all fools like me, he gave the chance to hear such lofty topics. I have understood that if the people of this world do not receive the same jolt that I received from my Gurudev, then their consciousness will not awaken. Therefore, I am telling everyone, quote, I am more foolish than anyone else on earth. Please, all of you, do not be foolish like me. Don't live your life within the limitation of calculating consciousness. Discuss Vaikuntha Katha, and you will become a great person. I am telling you what I have realized to be supremely beneficial. So, he's saying he has a diminutive brain. Probably the smartest person in the last, you know. Prabhupada said since Jiva Goswami, the greatest scholar. So, although Babaji Maharaj always strictly forbade anyone to touch his feet, once he voluntarily placed them on Siddhanta Saraswati's head and ordered him, preach the absolute truth, keeping aside all other activities, thus confirming his disciple's life mission. So, that's something to meditate on. This whole section is called Pre-Sanyas. And, you know, we just heard Mother Mukya read that part of it. He was talking about criticism, how we don't neglect to. Of course, you have to have the adhikar to criticize. We may not be able to criticize in the same way that he was. Prabhupada said several times how even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, some of his disciples, later they were just blown away. It was too much heavy chopping technique. Prabhupada referred to it as the kuru, holding a chopper in one hand and preaching. And he said he also followed these footsteps of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, chopping. Prabhupada would often chop. He was very diplomatic to a point, but he would sometimes be very chopping. We can recall one lady was interviewing Prabhupada about his made some statements that women were less intelligent or something. She found these statements. So in this video, if it's a video or something. But then she started talking about abortion. Maybe Prabhupada said something against abortion. So she said, well, what's wrong with abortion? So immediately Prabhupada said, just see, 38 ounces, something like that. Of course, I don't know if she knew what that meant, but he was, there was some teacher that Prabhupada had in 1910 that said women's brains were smaller. So Prabhupada said that to her like that. But sometimes people are very, Prabhupada could get away with this type of thing. So similarly, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta could say things in a very heavy way. He would speak with these pundits. One pundit had to answer the call of nature, big pundit. They were discussing astronomy and astrology. In other words, he either pooped or did something in his pants. It was pretty heavy duty. So it's pretty scary. Even the biggest kings, nobody could stand his gaze. His gaze was so powerful. He became the tutor to the kings of Tripura. It's in eastern Bengal, Tripura state. And there he studied their library. He used to memorize the books, one after another, all the different books. In Puri, he memorized books. It was a pastime. You know. Actually, nowadays, there's even mundane guys who... There's one guy in America who memorized 14,000 books. He's just an autistic fellow that his elderly father, who's in his 80s, has to take him to the library. He can't even make his way to the library. He's completely incompetent in every way. So we can well imagine that someone like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati can memorize books also. But he actually can memorize this one 50-something-year-old guy who can't do anything but memorize books. And he memorizes books of... You could understand that that's possible. It's not an exaggeration. If an ordinary or autistic guy memorizes thousands of books, we can read about the billion names here. During 1905, at 31 years old, Siddhanta Saraswati took a vow to chant daily at least 3 lakhs of holy names, like Haridas Thakur. And I think Kripa Sindhu calculated exactly that it was right. Right? Right. Right, 8 1/4. So Kripa Sindhu has affirmed that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was correct. He vowed to chant 3 lakhs a day. So that's, 3 lakhs is 3 times 64 times 16, each name. You can calculate it. Yeah. They call it 300,000. Is it exactly 300,000? Yeah. He chanted on a japa mala given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who had himself used them to fulfill a vow of chanting a billion holy names. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a descendant, of course, Bhaktisiddhanta also, of a great devotee of Nityananda. Nityananda came to that devotee's house. I forget his name, Krishna Das. Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda came to that person's house and held kirtan there. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is it. And Bhaktisiddhanta, their great descendants. Which he performed before a deity of Lord Chaitanya. It lasted just over 9 years. Hey, Kripa Sindhu, it says it lasted just over 9 years. You said 8. Yeah. And 4 months. Yeah, he did. Maybe he was an overachiever over his whole life. And it was punctuated by much struggle and several colorful incidents, including attempts to oust him from Mayapur, yet he was continued service there no more. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati cleared an overgrown area at the yoga pit and made a grass hut in which he lived from 1905 to 1909 amidst his many books and manuscripts. in concord with the Alankara Shastra describing green as an expression of viraha bhav, he preferred to use green items, for instance, wearing a green shawl, chadar, in winter, and writing in green ink. He wore only plain unstitched cloth on both his upper and lower body, using neither shirt nor sweater. He gave up footwear, even though his feet would bleed. Once, daily, he cooked plain rice in a clay pot and ate nothing more. He slept minimally on the earthen floor of his hut, bathed in the Ganga, and the rest of the time he chanted day and night on the same beads Bhaktivinoda Thakur had given him in childhood, which he used throughout his sojourn in the world. Occasionally, he took black pepper to offset nausea caused by his virtual fasting. In the heat of summer, he would close the door and go on chanting day and night. Whenever rain leaked through the roof thatch, he sat under an umbrella and continued chanting. Gorkhasura Das Babaji remarked, quote, "I see the renunciation of Sri Rupa Raghunath manifest in my Prabhu." Famous quote. That I was reading that Jagannath Das Babaji, he had his servant who was also a Babaji named Bihari. He was a big fellow. He used to carry around Jagannath Das Babaji in a basket. And he used to see Bimal Prasad. He said, "I used to see Bimal Prasad when he was a little boy." And he would go there with Jagannath Das Babaji also. And he said, Jagannath Babaji loved this boy so much. He was getting the blessings of Jagannath Das Babaji, who is we know is the Shikshu Guru of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And here he's, Gorkhasura Das Babaji is referring to his only disciple as Prabhu. Even while executing his vow, Siddhanta Saraswati managed the affairs of the yoga pit. You know, I also had to say, thinking that when he was 11, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur established at the Bhakti Bhavan his press called the Chaitanya Yantra. He was 11, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had trained him how to, well, not only he was already writing books, but he was editing the books, typesetting on the machinery, knew how to use the press, and he could take apart every part of the press, every single part, and put them back together. And if anything broke on that press, he would fix it. Bimal Prasad, when he was 11, aside from everything else. So, and then he was, anyway, a lot of things to know about him. I mean, considering he left his body at just under 63, and a lot of us are 63, what we have accomplished and what he accomplished in one day, probably in our whole life, we couldn't equal in his 1 hour. He wrote extensively while doing this whole vow of chanting, including an elaborate commentary on the Chaitanya Charitamrita completed in 1916, which is what Prabhupada referred to is at the Amrita Bhavaha Bhasha, or is that Bhaktivinoda's, or this is called the just the Anubhasha. So he completed that in 1916. This is all while he was chanting 3 lakhs a day. And he spoke at length to the occasional visitors who took the trouble to approach that remote spot. Well, nowadays, every Bengali, I don't know how many, they go to the birthplace, they come to Chandradoya Mandir, even the Muslims come there and have picnics out on our lawn, leaving trash, etc. But in those days, it's a very remote place. The yoga pit wasn't built, the big temple wasn't built there, it was just nothing going on in that place. Except his Lord Chaitanya's birthday. Despite living as an eremite, now we got a new word for all the dictionary buffs here, an eremite, E-R-E-M-I-T-E. Siddhanta Saraswati was gradually becoming known as an extraordinary ascetic scholar, an uncompromising exponent of devotional precepts. As his reputation spread, pundits came from far away as Puri and Vrindavan to seek his elucidation on philosophical points. Among those who came to inquire for him, several young men found themselves compelled to surrender at his lotus feet. actually had followers and disciple pupils when he was 17, 18 already. And they were able, even they were able to defeat. In Calcutta, they were smashing, especially the Mayavadi pundits. Yeah. That's what it said, and they would challenge and defeat the academic Mayavadi astrologers. It's pretty amazing stuff. And also, I read a follow-up of that when he was, before he was four, and he ate the mango, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, oh, you shouldn't have eaten that mango if it wasn't offered to Krishna. And then he vowed never to eat mango, even when he was, his whole life he never ever ate anything. Of course, everyone didn't know that. They'd come with mangoes sometimes. Some people would, because it's a common thing to offer somebody is a mango. And then he would always quote, Ishavashamidam Sarvam, and then expound on that verse, that Supreme Lord is Supreme Controller. I don't know if he always told them that he couldn't, but he said he couldn't eat mango because he was an offender. I mean, he probably didn't say when he was 3 years old that happened. He would say, no, I am an offender, and then quote the Ishavasham verse, and then it's pretty amazing stuff. So we'll read this past tense is Gurudev. There's so many things. Pick them all in. Here's something. In this section of chanting the holy name, let's put a marker there. So, when a Grihastha disciple requested, Guru Maharaj, please ask Ananta Vasudev to sing Yasomati Nandana. He chants so nicely. Saraswati Thakur replied, quote, this is a wrong attitude. All kirtan should be sung for Krishna's pleasure, not for you to hear and enjoy. He could detect this mood. He wanted to hear from a particular person, the way he chanted. All kirtan should be sung for Krishna's pleasure, not for you. Yasamati Nandan, Brajabhara Nagara. You want a Nagara. You want this kind of song. In other words, Nagara, he's enjoying. Not this kind of song, he said. Dushtamana tumi kishira vaishnava or Gopinath mama nivedana shuno. See, these are the heavy song. Now, what the first one he mentioned, Dushtamana, that's his own song. It's a very long song. Bhakti Prabhupada sings, actually, almost the whole thing on a tape. Dushtamana, the incredible harmonium, and Prabhupada dubbed in the Madanga. And you hear that, it just... When you hear Prabhupada sing his bhajan, then you know that you feel like these songs are written for Prabhupada to sing them. There's no question. You know. And this, of course, Gopinath, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that he's a sinner and so many things, smashing himself. And so this Dushtamana, Bhakti Siddhanta's song, where he says, Kishirava, what kind of Vaishnava are you? That you want to go off Pratishtaratari, Nirjanagari. You want to go off somewhere and just chant to get fame, and this is, he's paraphrasing Raghunath Das, that this is just like the stool of a pig, and pretty heavy stuff there. And, Tomar Kanaka, your gold is the progenitor of all Maya, and all illusion. All this wealth of the world is meant for Madhava. Wonderful song, long song. Prabhupada sings that whole song. Prabhupada, I don't know if Prabhupada ever sang Gopinath. I'm sure he sang it, but we don't have a tape. Saraswati Thakur strongly opposed paying professional artists for kirtan. There's one instance, and he would say, they're not chanting Hari Hari, but money, money. Increasing bile secretion. Actually, there was a time when we had a kirtan contest in 1977 in Mayapur. Who was there? Karagra. Who else? You were there. He was in a group. You were in an Udama's group. Anyway. Jai Pataka and some others, they organized groups from all around Bengal to have a contest, a kirtan contest. And of course, ISKCON wasn't as famous then, but even then, they came from all around, different groups came from Bangladesh and different places. I don't know how they notified them in those days, but they're different, and they're good, you know, they're good. But and then they had Western, several Western. There was Agni Dev had a group. He won in the West. I don't know if he beat out Uttam. I think he. I was standing next to Agni Dev, and we were listening to Swetavaraha. He was, and had Murari Hari, Swetavaraha, and two others playing Redondo on the ISKCON group, Shambhu, and Nittai Chand, and maybe even more. Anyway, so they were chanting, and Swetavaraha started singing these songs. He's a Bengali devotee, probably a disciple, but we haven't heard from him in a long time. But wonderful melodies. He was like a Vishnu. We called him the Bengali Vishnu John. His voice was like amplified. He didn't need a microphone or anything. It was like an opera. It was fantastic. He started singing, you know. As soon as he started singing, Agni Dev said, West can never beat East. Anyway. Then when Prabhupada was hearing this from his room, he said to Jai Pataka and some of the others, he said, they're simply crying for money. So here we see this. He didn't say that necessarily about the ISKCON groups, but he could hear the other groups anyway. But so then they dropped out. I think the Mayapur group dropped out after hearing that. It was like too much. But they let it go on, and there was a judging, and there was even some rewards given. I forget the exact outcome, but it was something. Prabhupada said they were simply crying for money. Anyway. You gotta be careful how you chant. Just chanting the external words, Bahirai, Jagadananda Pandit has that famous shloka that Namakshara, the words are not the actual, Bhaktisiddhanta said, lip deep to the heart. Once at dawn at the yoga pit, Lord Chaitanya's birthplace, Sitanath Das Mahapatra Bhakti Tirtha, disciple of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, an accomplished musician, was playing harmonium and sweetly crooning. As soon as you hear the word crooning, it sounds like Bhakti Vikasi is trying to make a point here. He was crooning with intricate vocal modulations. Rai Jago, Rai Jago, Radhe, wake up, Radhe, wake up. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was informed of this, he stopped the recital with the message, first wake up yourself. Disciple of his father's, by the way. Actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was merciless. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur was initiated by this Vipin Bihari, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he didn't want to have anything to do with this fellow. Vipin Bihari. Whose feet? Yeah, so. He said, who are you to put your feet on Bhaktivinoda Thakur's head? He said this to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's guru. It's in here, that's true. He's not making that up. You can't make this stuff up. First, wake up yourself. Only after being established in your original spiritual form is it proper to think of waking Srimati Radharani. On another occasion, that same devotee was singing the Maha Mantra in such a long, drawn-out manner that it took him full 15 minutes to complete one mantra. He was modulating his voice and harmonium up and down the scale, gesticulating as if expressing deep emotion. Srila Saraswati Thakur later remarked that the Maha Mantra could have been sung 50 times in the same amount of time that the musician was singing it only once. He further commented, persons lacking taste for the holy names or devotional service are attached to melodious tunes and musical performance as entertainment for their senses. We can dispel listlessness and all other anarthas by loudly, faithfully performing kirtan of the Maha Mantra in the association of pure devotees. Members of the Tala Toka Sampradaya, those interested in simply in rhythm, Tal and Toka means, you know, rhythm and beat, and other musical attributes, are utterly entangled in profit, adoration, and distinction. Pure devotees always distance themselves from such pretenders I mean, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, when you read this, he loggerheads with every single, the smartest sahajiya, this group, that group, exactly, and not in the same way. No, there was no cookie cutter thing like, oh, you're in Maya. No. Smash them, smash them, smash them. Ram, Krishna, down the line, Jati, Goshai, all the asampradayas that we read about, 13 and more, and the academics and the Jyotish, and just one after another. I mean, nobody could, he was undefeatable. Even from the time he was like 7 or 10, you know, what to speak of 30, 40, you know. So, pure devotees always distance themselves from such pretenders, instead worship the holy name by full absorption in Sankirtan. Bhagavan, who is addressed by his holy name by such faithful devotees, manifests to them his transcendental form, quality, and pastimes. Love of Krishna develops exclusively in the hearts of those who chant in this way. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had written so many books, you know, Bhaktivinoda Saraswati, he knew all those books. You know, not just, he just knew them, he knew them. They were dictated to him. It's like Jiva Goswami, he used to assist Rupa Goswami, like when he was writing, he wrote Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It was pointed out to me that Rupa Goswami had stopped writing Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He had chastised Jiva Goswami, and he left there for a year or two. He didn't see him, and he didn't even write it. I don't know if that was the same relationship, but this kind of intimate understanding of Bhaktivinoda Thakur is there in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The ray of Vishnu that he had prayed for, he understood this is the ray of Vishnu. Around 1905, in an assembly in Lohagada, after a kirtaniya warbled, Bhakti Vikas definitely sometimes gets pretty cutting. What he warbled, let me behold you standing on the left of the lotus of my heart, and then play your flute. Srila Siddhanta Saraswati piped in a refrain, oh my hired gardener, if you don't stand up, I'll give you a whipping. Then he reproved, there's not even a trace of bhakti here. It's simply chuck-a-block with a desire for personal enjoyment. Real devotees don't sing like this. Saraswati Thakur knew all of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs by heart, for they were his heart. Among his favorites were Gopinath, Radha Krishna Bol. We have one recording of Prabhupada chanting Radha Krishna Bol. Anyone who likes to use their ears properly should hear that on a daily basis. Radha Krishna Bol, Bol. Prabhupada singing with his harmonium is really something. I've been listening to it for 35, 40 years, and I don't think it's, I'm getting bored anytime soon, but ecstatic singing. Anyway, okay, so if anybody has to leave, welcome to. Oh, I'm reading it. I'm sure there were more. Gopinath, Radha Krishna Bol, Jai Radha Madhava, Nam Kirtan, it's called Nam Kirtan, or Nam Kirtan, and Harinam, Tuya Aneka Swarup. Similarly, the Prarthana Prema Bhakti Chandrika were practically his life breath, because we know that Gaurashodas Babaji had these two books. I mean, we hear that he didn't speak very intricate philosophy, but these two books, he said, in these two books, he said, you can take your 5 rupees and go buy these two books and you'll become self-realized. He used to say like that. He'd tell people, they would ask him, what should I do, Babaji? He said, go get 5 rupees and buy these two books of Narottam Das. So obviously Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was going to imbibe these two books as well. Also, he particularly relished Rupa Manjari Pada, which he said should be kept by sadhakas as a garland around their neck, especially on the Avirbhav Tithi, that's the appearance day of Vishnu avatar. He would have Shri Jayadev Goswami's Das avatar chanted. Before establishing Purushottam Math, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati lived for 2 months with some disciples in a rented house in Puri. During that period, he sent them to the seashore in early morning to congregationally chant Panchatattva Mantra, Chi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shedvaita Girara Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda. He explained that Lord Chaitanya and his associates were at that time coming to bathe in the sea. Anything you read here is going to be, and then there's three of these books, so you kind of have to feel guilty that you have to wind it down, or unless nobody wants to wind it down, you can keep reading. Once when Maharaj of Madhupur came to the Sachidananda Math, he requested Ananda Vasudev sing, but Saraswati Thakur directed another devotee who was not such a sweet singer to chant instead. Yet on another occasion, in the presence of Maharaj of Puri at a public program at Cuttack, Saraswati Thakur asked Ananda Vasudev to sing Shri Brajadam Mahimamrita, which describes the places, inhabitants, and moods of Vrindavan. Later, he personally expounded on those topics to the Maharaj. So, unpredictable. Just like Vridanda Maharaj tells a story how Prabhupada was on a morning walk, and one devotee, or an Indian, or somebody, he was saying so many shlokas, and Prabhupada said, yeah, it's very good, and he was praising that he knew these shlokas. So the next day or something, Vridanda started quoting shlokas, and Prabhupada immediately cut him off and said, there are so many verses. So we cannot bring this type of personality into our grasp of our hand. During Arati, Siddhanta Saraswati generally remained behind the Tulsi Mancha, just outside the Nut Mandir, where people dance, taking pleasure in seeing the devotees dancing. He would just watch them. They sometimes dance back and forth between the deities and the Tulsi, and sometimes in a circle around the Nut Mandir. From time to time, he would stand in the middle of the Nut Mandir with the devotees dancing around him, but would remain grave and not dance. Must have been something. He preferred that his disciples dance in a dignified manner, and on at least one occasion stopped the disciple who was dancing frenetically. Okay, so here's a section on japa. Anybody want to hear this? He emphasized often that those who do not chant at least one lakh, anybody here not chanting a lakh? 64 rounds, are considered patita, fallen. He wrote, Gorsundar states that Bhagavan is truly served in the home of one who chants one lakh. Actually, when Lord Chaitanya, in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, he one day he just said, from now on I only take prasad in a Lakshishwara's house. And in those days, a Lakshishwara meant someone who had a lack of rupees, which was a lot of rupees in those days. So all the devotees became depressed. A lot of Lord Chaitanya's followers, they thought, what? None of us have a lack of rupees. It's a lot of money, you know? So when he saw them, like, despondent, he said, no, not money. You chant 64 rounds like that. So he's Bhaktisiddhanta just following in the footsteps. The Lord accepts food and other offerings made to him by such a devotee who chants a lakh of names a day. Conversely, if a disciple does not chant a lakh, the Lord does not bless him by accepting his offering. Every single devotee should chant a lakh of names. Otherwise, he will soon become attached to various forms of sense gratification, and thus be incapable of serving the Lord. For this reason, all sheltered by Chaitanya Dev, daily chant at least one lakh. Otherwise, Gorsundar will not accept the offerings made to him. He repeatedly insisted that all devotees chant at least one lakh. To the several devotees who more than once asked him for permission to reduce their quota, citing lack of time, he would tell them to somehow or other make time. To some pujaris at Chaitanya Math who pleaded insufficient time, he firmly rejoined, no excuses, every day one lakh of Harinam must be chanted, otherwise Mahaprabhu will not even accept water. What is the value of archan if Mahaprabhu is not properly served? So this gives us an idea where we're at. You know. Yet, he kept all Math bossies busy with multifarious service, stating that seva and mala, chanting on beads, is non-different, and a sincere attitude of service is the very essence of chanting, without cultivating which even chanting all day and night is of little value. He told his disciples, During the day, remain busy in service. Due to other engagements, you might not chant a lakh, but that should be your lakh. That should be your lakya, aim. Oh, so there's a play on words here. If sometimes you are too busy during the day to chant on your mala, then instead of taking rest, chant. If you can't finish your prescribed japa, then sleep less and chant. Don't increase your time for sleeping. Increase your chanting. Kirtaniya, Sada Hari, always chant the holy name. Wake up with the holy name. Go on chanting throughout the day and go to sleep with the holy name. If you practice this, naturally you will also chant while sleeping. Anyway, I don't think I can go on after this. It's too far out. Any comments? Questions? 1922 and 32 or 33. 11 years. So everyone has to go to work. No more chanting. Okay. Mike.
Two things. One thing that just popped into my mind is that Bhaktisiddhanta had a bodyguard. He's a big, strong fellow. And he used to eat 35 chapatis every day for lunch.
Well, we'll have to read about it and see if that's all true. It is.
The other thing I was remembering about, one of the big sannyasis, I guess he was a bit heavy-handed. He was trying to get the devotees to chant proper japa, you know, and I guess he got back to Bhaktisiddhanta. So then Bhaktisiddhanta said, just see, he doesn't even know how to chant japa, and he's trying to teach others how to chant japa.
Yeah. There's a lot of things in here.
So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was a very well-known astronomer and astrologer. You just mentioned in his biography in the books. Srila Prabhupada mentioned he stopped after he took sannyas, doing astrology. But the pure devotees can see three colors. We know past, present, future. Just a comment. And then, when he got to see, first time they meet Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he said, start preaching in English, you know, you educated person. And then in the letter, the last instruction that he gave to Srila Prabhupada, preach in English, in the letter just before he left. Huh? So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta can see that Srila Prabhupada, he prophesies also that Srila Prabhupada will be the person who spread Krishna consciousness all over the world.
Yeah, he didn't widely publish it, but he just said to some devotees in Bombay, he said, you don't have to recommend him, he'll do everything. Yeah,
it wasn't another statement.
Published. Yeah. If it had been published, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta is saying that they would have been incredulous because at that time he was a householder selling pharmaceuticals.
He prophesized.
Yeah, he prophesied. But he also instructed everyone who knew English to do that. He wanted Sridhar Maharaj to go to the West.
Well, they have a failure in London when he sent Bon Maharaj to London, they were not succeed.
That's a long story.
But he prophesied Prabhupada's personality that he will do it, spread the holy name all over the world.
Well, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati apparently said he wanted 10 years to preach in America. At that time, America wasn't even like that big. It was before World War II, back in the 30s. He said, I would like to preach in America for 10 years. So Sridhar Maharaj and others have said that Prabhupada gave him those 10 years plus a little more. That Bhaktisiddhanta didn't do it, Prabhupada did it for him.
Right. Anyway, this auspicious day, strong connection.
All right, so
Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta.
What? He wanted to go to America. He never did. He didn't go anywhere. He went to Burma. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prashkar Prabhu. Very nice discussion.
We were talking about Srila Prabhupada's chanting, the type his chanting when he did bhajan. When I was just pretty new devotee, we started a preaching center in Charlotte, North Carolina, and there was one man there, his name was Piyush Shah, and he was a brahmachari. He worked at the bank. He's a computer genius, and we became really good friends. I had no idea just how this guy was situated, but he told me he chanted 64 rounds a day, And he would chant Bhagavad Gita every day. And so this is Prabhupada. He was already like completely attached to Prabhupada. And he was doing all these things. And I thought this was kind of like normal for Indians, you know. So this is one of the first Indians I met, you know. So I said, wow, these kids all are a really good dance, you know. And we would ride together sometimes. He would chant the entire Bhagavad Gita right, you know, with me in the car. And I said, wow, amazing person. You know? Anyway, he would describe the nature or the level of Prabhupada's kirtan, the level of Prabhupada's bhajan. He was telling me the different chakras and how each type of music stimulates different chakras. Like rock and roll will stimulate the lower chakras. And then as you go up, up the spine, there's poetic music that stimulates the chakra of the heart, which gives you pleasure from poetic sounds and nicely arranged sounds. And then there's intellectual music, which which would be like classical music, very intricate and very, very complex, and the intelligence is trying to figure out these musical compositions and gives great pleasure to the intellect. He says, but when Prabhupada sings, he says, it takes you out of the body. He pulls you out from the topmost chakra. He's always taking us out. So it's like when we listen to Prabhupada, sometimes it's not like sense gratification that we're attracted to. It's just the power that he has in his bhajan to actually have us feel like we're being raised up, you know, like that. Anyway, I thought I'd mention that because...
Whatever happened, did you get initiated, that guy? You shocked?
No.
After all that praising.
I met his father, and his father was the person I can remember most that looked like Prabhupada. And his father had his hand in his bead bag all the time chanting. And when you were around him, you felt this presence of the holy name. They're amazing family. But I learned soon that not all Indians were like him. So. I just thought I'd...
Give Dharmaraj the phone.
You did mention that Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj had no godbrother. In other words, Kirtidas Babaji had no other disciple.
I did mention.
Yeah, sometimes I heard that he had one disciple, another one, Bhamsidas Babaji. Can you explain it?
No, Bhamsidas is not... I don't think he's a disciple.
Maybe just Shiksha.
A friend, or no, he's not. I don't think. Maybe something. Bhamsidas Babaji is so far off the, you know, ordinary, that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta used to send some disciples to give him prasad, with some different things, you know. But he cautioned them, you know, that he's still so far out of the material world, you don't take his example. Because he said, you can read that little book, but I don't know.
So sometimes he's beating him.
Beating his deity?
He came back to Bhakti, the one who was getting a beating. He came back to, he said, what happened? Oh, he was beating us. Why was he beating you? Because he said, we took some of his prasadam. The Bhakti said, did you? They went, yes.
He used to bathe his Gornatai deity, just throw them in the Ganga, you know. Pretty ecstatic way to do it. Let them swim. Huh? Anything else over there?
Yeah, I'm wondering
about
I was just thinking there's that beautiful place in Jagannath Puri. It's my favorite place on this Puri, besides Gambira. And it's right near Tota Gopinath. And it might be the Purushottama temple, but he has his bhajan kutir, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's bhajan kutir. And it's kind of like there's a rolling hill there, and Tota Gopinath is behind. And I guess Srila Bhakti Siddhanta spent a lot of time there. Has anybody else been to that place?
I don't remember, but I remember Tota Gopinath for sure.
And there's a picture of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, and when you go to that place and you chant japa there, you just really feel his presence very strongly, even more than the place where he was born, you know, that other place on the big street.
Yeah, Pundarik's not here, are the experts.
Yeah. And right also now. His place in Mayapur. You know, he had Gorky Shordas Babaji's samadhi put there. And then he has the Radhakund, and he has the Govardhan. And you could just see how he was always absorbed in Vrindavan, even though he didn't spend much time there.
Yeah, there's a whole section on Dham, Tirtha, going around, Paris, around, anything else. Okay, Jai.